Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Hare Krishna. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 3, chapter 33, entitled Activities of Kapila, text number 7. Aho bata svapacho to garyan.
Aho bata svapacho to garyan.
Yajjiva gre vartate namatubhyam.
Yajjiva gre vartate namatubhyam.
Te pustapaste juhuvu sashnuraya.
Te pustapaste juhuvu sashnuraya.
Brahmanuchur namagrinanti yete.
Brahmanuchur namagrinanti yete.
Aho bata svapacho to garyan.
Aho bata svapacho to garyan.
Yajjiva gre vartate namatubhyam.
Yajjiva gre vartate namatubhyam.
Te pustapaste juhuvu sasnuraya.
Te pustapaste juhuvu sasnuraya.
Brahmanuchur namagrinanti yete.
Brahmanuchur namagrinanti yete.
Aho bata svapacho to garyan.
Aho bata svapacho to garyan.
Yajjiva gre vartate namatubhyam.
Yajjiva gre vartate namatubhyam.
Te pustapaste juhuvu sashnuraya.
Te pustapaste juhuvu sashnuraya.
Brahmanuchur namagrinanti yete.
Brahmanuchur namagrinanti yete.
Aho bata.
Aho bata.
Oh, how glorious.
Oh, how glorious.
Svapachaha.
Svapachaha.
A dog eater.
A dog eater.
Ataha.
Ataha.
Hence.
Hence.
Gariyan.
Gariyan.
Worshipable.
Worshipable.
Yet.
Yet.
Of whom?
Of whom?
Jiva Agri.
Jiva Agri.
On the tip of the tongue.
On the tip of the tongue.
Vartate.
Vartate.
Is.
Is.
Nama.
Nama.
The holy name.
The holy name.
Tubhyam.
Tubhyam.
Unto you.
Unto you.
Tepuhu Tapaha.
Tepuhu Tapaha.
Practiced austerities.
Practiced austerities.
Te.
Te.
They.
They.
Juhuvu.
Juhuvu.
Executed fire sacrifices.
Executed fire sacrifices.
Sashnuhu.
Sashnuhu.
Took bath in the sacred rivers.
Took bath in the sacred rivers.
Aryaha.
Aryaha.
Aryans.
Aryans.
Brahman. Brahma Anuchu.
Brahma Anuchu.
Studied the Vedas.
Studied the Vedas.
Nama.
Nama.
The holy name.
The holy name.
Grinanti.
Grinanti.
Accept.
Accept.
Yea.
Yea.
He who. They who. Take.
Take.
Your.
Your.
Translation and purport is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
Oh, how glorious are they whose tongues are chanting your holy name. Even if born in the families of dog eaters, such persons are worshipable. Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices and achieved all the good manners of the Aryans. To be chanting the holy name of your lordship, they must have bathed at the holy places of pilgrimage, studied the Vedas, and fulfilled everything required. Please repeat. Oh, how glorious.
Oh, how glorious.
Are those whose tongues are chanting your holy name.
Are those whose tongues are chanting your holy name.
Even if born in the families of dog eaters.
Even if born in the families of dog eaters.
Such persons are worshipable.
Such persons are worshipable.
Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship.
Persons who chant the holy name.
Must have executed all kinds of austerities.
Must have executed all kinds of austerities.
And fire sacrifices.
And fire sacrifices.
And achieved all the good manners of the Aryans.
And achieved all the good manners of the Aryans.
To be chanting the holy name of your lordship.
To be chanting the holy name of your lordship.
They must have bathed at the holy places of pilgrimage.
They must have bathed at the holy places of pilgrimage.
Studied the Vedas.
Studied the Vedas.
And fulfilled everything required.
And fulfilled everything required.
Purport. As stated in the previous verse, a person who has once offenselessly chanted the holy name of God becomes immediately eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. One should not be astonished by this statement of Srimad Bhagavatam. One should not believe it or think, how, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, can one become a holy man to be compared with the most elevated Brahmana? To eradicate such doubts in the mind of unbelievers, this verse affirms that the stage of chanting the holy name of the Lord is not sudden, but that the chanters have already performed all kinds of Vedic rituals and sacrifices. It is not very astounding, for no one in this life can chant the holy name of the Lord unless he has passed all the lower stages, such as performing the Vedic ritualistic sacrifices, studying the Vedas, and practicing good behavior like that of the Aryans. All this must first have been done. Just as a student in the law class is to be understood to have already graduated from general education, anyone who is engaged in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, must have already passed all lower stages. It is said that those who simply chant the holy name with the tip of the tongue are glorious. One does not even have to chant the holy name and understand the whole procedure, namely the offensive stage, the offenseless stage, and the pure stage. If the holy name is sounded on the tip of the tongue, that is also sufficient. It is said herein that Nama, a singular number, one name, Krishna or Rama, is sufficient. It is not that one has to chant all the holy names of the Lord. The holy names of the Lord are innumerable. One does not have to chant all the names to prove that he has already undergone all the processes of Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. If one chants once only, it is to be understood that he has already passed all the examinations, not to speak of those who are chanting always, 24 hours a day. It is specifically said here, Tubhyam, unto you only. One must chant God's name, not, as the Mayavadi philosophers say, any name, such as a demigod's name, or the names of God's energies. Only the name of the Supreme Lord will be effective. Anyone who compares the holy name of the Supreme Lord to the names of the demigods is called Pishandi, or an offender. The holy name has to be chanted to please the Supreme Lord, and not for any sense gratification or professional purpose. If this pure mentality is there, then even though a person is born in a low family, such as a dog eater's, he is so glorious that not only has he purified himself, but he is quite competent to deliver others. He is competent to speak on the importance of the transcendental name, just as Thakur Haridas did. He was apparently born in a family of Mohammedans, but because he was chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord offenselessly, Lord Chaitanya empowered him to become the authority, or acharya, of spreading the name. It did not matter that he was born in a family which was not following the Vedic rules and regulations. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Advaita Prabhu accepted him as an authority because he was offenselessly chanting the name of the Lord. Authorities like Advaita Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya immediately accepted that he had already performed all kinds of austerities, studied the Vedas, and performed all sacrifices. That is automatically understood. There is a hereditary class of Brahmanas called the Smarta Brahmanas, however, who are of the opinion that even if such persons who are chanting the holy name of the Lord are accepted as purified, they still have to perform the Vedic rites, or await the next birth in a family of Brahmanas so that they can perform Vedic rituals. But actually, this is not the case. Such a man does not need to wait for the next birth to become purified. He is at once purified. It is understood that he has already performed all sorts of rites. It is the so-called brahmanas who actually have to undergo different kinds of austerities before reaching that point of purification. There are many other Vedic performances which are not described here. And such Vedic rituals have already been performed by the chanters of the holy name. The word juhuvu means that the chanters of the holy name must have already performed all kinds of sacrifices. Sasnuhu means that they have already traveled to all the holy places of pilgrimage and have taken part in purificatory activities at those places. They are called Ariyaha because they have already finished all those requirements, and therefore they must be among the Aryans, or those who have qualified themselves to become Aryans. Aryan refers to those who are civilized, whose manners are regulated according to the Vedic rituals. Any devotee who is chanting the holy name of the Lord is the best kind of Aryan. Unless one studies the Vedas, one cannot become an Aryan. But it is automatically understood that the chanters have already studied all the Vedic literature. The specific word here is anuchuhu, which means that because they have already completed all these recommended acts, they have become qualified to be spiritual masters. The word grinanti, which is used in this verse, means to be already established in the perfectional stage of ritualistic performances. If one is seated on a bench of a high court and is giving judgment on cases, it means that he has already passed all legal exams and is better than those who are engaged in the study of law or those expecting to study law in the future. In a similar way, persons who are chanting the holy name are transcendental to those who are factually performing the Vedic rituals and those who expect to be qualified, or in other words, those who are born in the family of brahmanas, but have not yet undergone the reformatory processes, and who therefore begin to expect to study the Vedic rituals and perform the sacrifices in the future. There are many Vedic statements in different places, saying that anyone who chants the holy name of the Lord becomes immediately freed from conditional life, and that anyone who hears the holy name of the Lord, even though born in a family of dog-eaters, also becomes liberated from the clutches of material entanglement. Om Gyanat Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalaka Chakshurinmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapranatakam Vandeyaham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sakrijatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purichana Sivitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sate Devi Ramami Hari Priya Panchaka Bhatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Nama Om Vishnu Badaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vastagatya Deshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Aho bhatasva pachoto garyan yad jiva grevarjate namatupyam te pustapes te juhuvu sasnurarya brahmanu churnama grinanti yete. O how glorious are they whose tongues are chanting your holy name. Even if born in the family of dog eaters, such persons are worshipable. Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices and achieved all the good manners of the Aryans. To be chanting the holy name of your lordship, they must have bathed at the holy places of pilgrimage, studied the Vedas, and fulfilled everything required. So, this sounds wonderful. We've already done everything, no problem. But, so the devotees with Srila Prabhupada were feeling like that. They were thinking, they read this verse and they were thinking, okay, we've already done everything. We've done the fire sacrifices, we've studied the Vedas, we've done everything like that. But Prabhupada cut them short. He says, no, I created your good fortune. It wasn't that they'd done everything. And of course in other places he said different things. In other places he said that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati sent all these wonderful devotees to him simply to help him preach his spiritual master's mission. But we shouldn't become proud that because we've got the good fortune to see Krishna in the temple and to chant his holy name, that we've done everything and we don't need to try for very hard for very much. But still, these verses, yesterday's verse and today's verse, are very important for Srila Prabhupada when he's answering people who are criticizing him for making us lechas and yavanas into brahmanas, giving sacred thread to the male devotees. And he got serious criticism for that. He was also criticized for many other things he did in the Western world to propagate Krishna consciousness. And he's remarked, but what shall I do? I must give people a chance. And these verses from the Shastra, and we've got some other verses as well, that Prabhupada has quoted in different places, to show that actually there is nothing material that can stop us from coming to Krishna consciousness. So yesterday's verse, I'll just read that again to refresh. Yan namadheya shravananu kirtanad yad pravanad yad smarad ad apikachit svadopi sajya savanaya kalpate kutapunaste bhagavanu darshanat. To say nothing of the spiritual advancements who see the Supreme Person face to face, even a person born in a family of dog eaters immediately becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices if he once utters the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or chants about him, hears about his pastimes, offers him obeisances, or even remembers him. So Prabhupada in the purport, he's talked about Haridas Thakur. In other classes on speaking about people who may be considered lower class people amongst dog eaters and other classes, he spoke about Ramananda Roy. So Ramananda Roy, he's not a dog eater, but he's not a brahmana. He's a householder and he's a governor. So he's actually in a special class, but he's in a kshatriya type of class. And so he's not a brahmana. So he was a little shy when he was approaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking him questions. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave one verse that is very famous. Kiva Vipru Kibinyasi Sudra Kinainaya Ye Krishna Tattva Veta Say Guru Hai. Whether one is a Brahmana, a Sannyasi, a Sudra, Regardless of what he is, he can become a spiritual master if he knows the science of Krishna. So this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told to encourage Ramananda Roy. Haridas Thakur, we know, was born in a Mohammedan family, so he's not born with any Vedic rituals. Sanatan and Rupa Goswami, although they were born in a Brahmana family, they become degraded according to the rules of the Brahmanas because they serve the Muslim government to the extent of taking on the Muslim names of Sakar Malika and Dabir Khas. But Prabhupada mentions that nevertheless, these Goswamis are worshipable. Achai Goshai Yara Tare Muidas. We're praying to become the servants of these Goswamis, even though they're so-called fallen. So there are acharyas. Haridas Thakur got the title of Namacharya. Rupa Goswami taught on the highest goal of Prema Bhakti. Sanatana Goswami gave so much of teachings. But Srila Prabhupada, he made the point that we can be born in a family of dog eaters. We can be in a lower birth, but we must not remain that way. We are expected to be serious in devotional service and to take up the activities and to learn and to become Vaishnavas. Prabhupada said, there's a quote here, "My position is very precarious," because he wanted to stress the points that his devotees shouldn't take it for granted that they're already Vaishnavas. They've surpassed the Brahmanas, and therefore they could just relax. So Jiva Goswami, speaking on, I think, yesterday's verse, was stressing the fact that a Brahmana by birth doesn't immediately become eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. He needs to be reformed by the samskaras, and by education, and by taking initiation. So all of these things are required for someone born in a Brahmana family to become a Brahmana and to be eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. But the dog eater, is said, is immediately eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. Now, Aniruddha in yesterday's class mentioned that our sacrifice in this age is Sankirtan Yajna. So Jiva Goswami mentions in his commentary on Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that although the dog eater, when he comes to become a Vaishnava, is eligible to perform all Vedic sacrifices, generally he doesn't. He doesn't want to upset the smarter Brahmanas. And the other thing is that we're not following the Vedic process. We're following the Pancharatrika process and the Bhagavata process. So we're not aspiring to go and perform all these Karmakandi sacrifices. So the dog eater is not going to upset the Brahmanas too much. He's taking to the chanting of the holy name and he's taking to Sankirtan Yajna. But he's not going to go and do this other types of sacrifices generally. Of course, in ISKCON, we do, as lechers, the properly trained brahmanas, they perform different yajnas. But Prabhupada explained when he was installing the deities in Vrindavan that all this stuff that he's doing to install the deities, he got in some brahmanas from the local temples, from the local Goswami's temples, and he did this whole process of installing the deities. But he explained to the devotees that actually all of this is just to keep on good terms with the local Goswamis. Actually, all that's required to install the deities even is simply the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But he brought in all these extra things in order to satisfy, because he wanted to establish good relationships with the local Goswami temples. So you'll find now in Vrindavan that sometimes the temple in Vrindavan is following a little bit stricter, smarter practices in order to keep this good relationship. But that doesn't mean that Prabhupada intended all of us to follow. And things like that only the male devotees are on the altar. And some other things like they suggest that if people are able to, they can do some of the fast, like the Nirjala Kadasi. But Prabhupada never instructed the devotees to do that. So this is about trying to keep the locals happy. Now, when Prabhupada was talking, that he gave an example that somebody approached him and said, "Why are you making all these lechas and yavanas into Vaishnavas?" And he quoted another verse. This verse is... This verse is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, Text 18. Kirata unandara pulinda pukasa abira sumba yavana kasadayaha yene cha papa yad apa sraya srayaha sutyanti tasme prabhavishnave namaha. So this verse translates Kirata, Huna, Andra, Pulina, Pukasa, Abira, Sumba, Yavana, members of the Kasa races and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Due to His being the supreme power, I beg to offer my obeisances to Him. So the devotees in this verse are taking shelter of the lower classes are taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord, and by such are purified. Prabhupada mentions how is it that they become purified, and that's because of the potency of Lord Vishnu. Prabha Vishnave, unto the powerful Lord Vishnu, Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances. So we're following the Vedic process. Prabhupada is following the Vedic process to bring us to devotional service. But he stresses in a number of his lectures that we are following the Vedic process and we shouldn't think we can deviate and make up our own process. He quotes Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.101, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidim Vina Ahai Kantiki Harir Bhaktir Utpatayeva Kalpate. Devotional service to the Lord that ignores the authorized Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas, Narada Pancharatra, etc., is simply an unnecessary disturbance to society. So he made this point to stress that we can't take for granted that we've come to the point of being a Vaishnava and all we need to do is chant Hare Krishna. We have to maintain our following of the Shastra. Aniruddha yesterday was explaining how important this deity worship it is. Because it's like our backup. It's the thing that keeps us towards the mode of goodness if we happen to fall from perfection, from chanting the holy name. We can't ignore these rules of sadhana that we've been given. Prabhupada has given us a full process. And he's explained that the process he's given us with a full morning program, with service during the day, with an evening program, and then some reading, and especially he liked Krishna book at night time before we go to sleep, is to help us to think of Krishna 24 hours a day. So we need to follow all these rules and regulations so that we can have the backup. It might be very nice while we're chanting, especially while we're dancing in kirtan. It's our best time for feeling the presence of the holy name, for experience the presence of the holy name. But we must follow all these regulations, rules and regulations, given to us by Prabhupada. Not by inventing our own and adding extra, and not by thinking we know better than Prabhupada and we should do something. But by taking what Prabhupada has given, and by studying what Prabhupada has given. Because if we just, sometimes we can just listen to one or two people and they might use what Srila Prabhupada has given to give their own message, like we can do. Like it said how you need a spiritual master, a living spiritual master, because otherwise you can't get rid of the false ego. If I simply read one of Prabhupada's books without any guidance, I will simply take what I like, and what I don't like I'll just put aside, I'll ignore. I might read it, but I won't meditate on it and think how to apply it. I'll just read it and say, okay, and turn the page to the next one. And I'll concentrate what I like. So we need the association of devotees, and we need the physical presence of a spiritual master. Of course, we might say some of us don't have much association with our spiritual master, but still he's there, and we've had to take the step of surrendering to him and taking initiation. And the process of initiation, we sit in front of the fire sacrifice, in front of the devotees. And this is part of the process of samskara. All of these samskaras, reformatory practices that the Brahman is expected to go through, are done in the association of the Brahmanas, in the association of the Vaishnavas. So they're all, we give our promise in front of the Vaishnavas, and in that way we also have an obligation to maintain our promise. And these devotees around us will help us. So part of our process of taking a spiritual master and taking initiation is that we're accepting a place in the society of Vaishnavas. And we have an obligation to that society. And that will help keep us strong when perhaps we might get lost, when our mind or false ego persuades us to go somewhere else. It's said that the spiritual master becomes our Chaitya Guru. He sits in our heart and guides us. But we have to be careful that it's not our mind trying to trick us. So that's where the association of the Vaishnavas, and that's where our continued reading on Srila Prabhupada's books, listening to his lectures, conversations, morning walks, reading his correspondence, helps us to become firm in the mission of Srila Prabhupada and in the path that's laid down by our acharyas. So this path laid down by our acharyas is in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prithivite Ache Yata Nagaradi Gram, that our path is to try and spread this holy name to every town and village. And then Prabhupada quotes this verse I've already said about wherever you are, if you know the science of Krishna, you become a guru. Now there are some other verses which also speak. Prahlad Maharaj speaks about dog eaters also. This verse is in the 7th canto, 9th chapter, and 10th verse. I won't read the Sanskrit because it's a little long and I didn't practice it. Okay, so if a Brahmana has all 12 of the Brahminical qualifications, as they are stated in the book called Sanat Sujata, but is not a devotee and is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord, he is certainly lower than a devotee who is a dog eater, but who has dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth, and life, to the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee is better than such a Brahmana, because the devotee can purify his whole family, whereas the so-called Brahmana is in a position of false prestige and cannot purify even himself. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying that even if one is born in a family of dog eaters, if he is taken to devotional service, he can purify all his family as well. But the Brahmana, if he is puffed up with his false ego, he cannot even purify himself, let alone his family. The previous verse, Srila Prabhupada also speaks about. The previous verse, Prahlad Maharaj spoke, one may possess wealth, an aristocratic family, beauty, austerity, education, sensory expertise, luster, influence, physical strength, diligence, intelligence, mystic yogic power. But I think even by all these qualifications, one cannot satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one can satisfy the Lord simply by devotional service. Gajendra did this, and thus the Lord was satisfied with him. So this example of Gajendra is very nice. What to speak of the qualities of a dog eater? Gajendra had no strength, no power, no opulence. He was an elephant. He was an animal. He wasn't even a human being. And yet he satisfied the Lord simply by praying to him. Prabhupada also gives another example. He says, you see the pictures where Krishna has a calf next to him. And the calf is also an animal. It can't do anything, but it satisfies Krishna. It loves Krishna. So the point that Prahlad Maharaj is making in these two verses is that the Lord cannot be satisfied by any material qualities. Of course, he is the creator of these qualities. These qualities, these skills, the knowledge, everything comes from Krishna. So how can us, being puffed up and thinking we possess them, how can that possibly satisfy Krishna? Because he knows they're his potencies. He's lent them to us. So they're not something for us to be proud of. They're something for us to recognize that they belong to him and we should offer back to him. So Bhagavad Gita also confirms. You have to find this text. Bhaktya mama bijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha tato mam tatvatogyatva vishate tadanantaram. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Now, Prabhupada quotes the previous verse as well, 1854, in order to show how you know a Vaishnava, how you know a Brahmana. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na shochachi na kankshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. So how he says, so how you know a Vaishnava, how you know a Brahmana? He's prasanatma, he's happy, he's joyful. Na kankshati na sochati na kankshati. He doesn't lament for anything and he doesn't aspire to achieve anything. So by these qualities you can recognize a Vaishnava, you can recognize a Brahmana. And God is satisfied, the Supreme Lord is satisfied by such devotional service. He doesn't ask for all this wealth, all this education, all these material qualities. He doesn't require it. He says also in the Bhagavad Gita, Patram pushpam palam toyam, yo mai bhakti prayachati. If you simply offer with love a leaf, a flower, a fruit or water. Another verse which confirms how people of lower birth can take to devotional service is in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Mam hi partavya pasrita yepi syu papandyonayaha striyo vaishyas tata sujas tepi yanti paramgatim. O son of Brita, those who take shelter in me, although they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, merchants, and sudras, workers, can attain the supreme destination. So the requirement there is to take shelter of Krishna, to surrender unto him. Sarva dhamman parichaja. Krishna asks only our surrender. And one verse that Prabhupada also quotes a couple of times is 1555. What he's quoting is that our attempt to please Krishna need not be in acquiring all these material qualifications of going through all these reformatory practices. Our attempt is to learn about Krishna. Vedas to Sarviraham Eva Vedya in 15:15. By all the Vedas I am to be known. So our goal is to come to know Krishna. And by developing that knowledge of Krishna, we will also come to love Krishna. And the other verse quoted very much by Prabhupada is how in this age of Kali we have this special quality. Kali dosha nadhei rajan asti hyeko mahan gunaha kirtanad eva krishnasya mos mukta sanga param vrajet. My dear king, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Okay, so I'm going to stop here and ask if anyone's got any comments or questions. Hare Krishna Prabhu.
You were talking in the early stages about how Prabhupada was able to adjust the different processes.
Yes.
In actual fact, you said all you need to do is really just chant.
Yes.
You also said that actually, if you follow Prabhupada as an example in every way, because we're seeing those Krishna consciousness movement, especially in India, there's more of a change. Changes are more and more advanced to cater for the broader Hindu community. So in fact, they're going against what Prabhupada basically set up. Can you comment on that or discuss that?
Well, yes. I mean, it is a matter of concern. Actually, Janardhan Swami said in a recent Bhagavad Gita class, he said, If anyone listened to his opinion, he would stop giving Hindi Srimad Bhagavatam classes and he would make all these Hindi speakers listen to the translation of the English speakers class. And the reasons for that, there is a couple of reasons for that. One is that in Vrindavan, so many devotees come from all over the world and most of them speaking English. And we get such a wealth of devotee association listening to the Srimad Bhagavatam class. So he's saying that these Hindi speakers are missing out on all of this. But the other thing that's happening in India, as you said, people are bringing things with them. So, I mean, I don't understand Hindi, so I don't know what's going on. But I know just from just perception that I know some devotees who sit in the Hindi Bhagavatam class every day and they don't seem to learn some very important things about devotional service. And somebody commented to me that, yes, because often when these people come to Krishna consciousness, they're not fully trained. I mean, in Melbourne here, everybody here is so well trained. But in India, that training program isn't there. So people come to devotional service, and they still hold on to some of their traditional beliefs and some of their traditional ways. And then they want to bring it with them, and they start speaking it in class. And they become involved in the management, and as you say, they bring in changes, which may not be what Prabhupada intended. And it's something we have to be concerned about. I mean, now in Vrindavan, there are some senior Prabhupada disciples who will put great efforts into trying to explain what Prabhupada wanted. They're not always successful, as you say, some changes are coming in. But how much more we have to be careful when there are no longer Srila Prabhupada's disciples here to at least say when they think things are going astray. So it's something that we all have to be aware of. I know I went the year before last, I went to the ILS, and you can see how hard the GBC is working to try and keep Prabhupada. They've had the Srila Prabhupada's position committee. To keep Prabhupada, they've made a statement on his position saying that he is the preeminent Siksha Guru for all of us gone for all time. So they're making quite a lot of effort to try and keep Srila Prabhupada in that position and to maintain that all the devotees in ISKCON. It's not that we just do Prabhupada's Guru Puja once a morning and then we forget about him. It's that we actually have to hold him in that position of being our preeminent Siksha Guru. Now, of course, he is, because he's given us so much of literature, so much of classes, but we have to actually hold him in that position, and that will keep ISKCON together. Because when disciples are not educated, then they get into a separatist mentality. Hama guru jagat guru. My guru is the greatest guru. And you are this, you're initiated by somebody else. I don't even need to talk to you. So this is very bad. And the GBC are trying to address it. The disciples course is very good. But then we had a discussion that some people are doing the disciples course simply to get initiation. And they're not actually learning anything by doing it. But it is actually a wonderful course. And if you study the reading material that comes with it, that's optional, like the Founder Acharya book and the paper on Prabhupada and the Gaudiya Mat. There's some wonderful writings, there's some wonderful teachings for us to show us how important to keep Prabhupada in the center and how closely Srila Prabhupada followed his spiritual master. When you read like Jhutakarma's book, I think it's a paper, Prabhupada and the Gaudiya Mat, you can actually read how, and the Founder Acharya book, how Prabhupada established exactly what Bhakti Siddhanta was trying to establish. Even the idea of the GBC came from Jiva Goswami, it came from the Goswamis. So everything down to the smallest detail, Prabhupada is taken from our previous Acharyas. And it's very important that we all learn what Prabhupada has done, how he's done it, why he's done it, and we all take up the responsibility to keep doing it, because we're not always going to be surrounded by Prabhupada's disciples who can do it. And we can't always just leave it to the temple presidents. Prabhupada, by his will, made temple presidents a little independent. He didn't want to create a big body where everybody just followed. He wanted to create devotees who were independently thoughtful. You can read his letters on the subject. He said that there should not be centralization in anything except for the BBT. He wanted it in the BBT because the BBT was very important to him to produce the books. But he wanted the temples to be a little independent. He wanted the devotees to be independently thoughtful. But, and of course the GBC have that role to maintain Prabhupada's mission to maintain spiritual practices in the different areas. And they're trying to make that work better. But yes, there is the danger is there, and the danger is there even by Prabhupada's instruction that the temple should be a little independent, but that we're going to cultivate this being independently thoughtful, because we're not intended to be blind followers. And we have to personally take up that responsibility. I'm going to study what Prabhupada put in his books. I'm going to study his audio transcript, his lectures, his conversations. Now, there are some people who say, I'm only going to read Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada's books, of course, are the prime importance because he's carefully put them. But some of the ways we apply them, he's given in conversations, in classes, just for specific situations. So we have to keep reading and keep learning and ourselves understand Prabhupada's mood so that we can take the responsibility also. Now, Prabhupada said he wanted all of his disciples to be spiritual master. He wanted hundreds and thousands in some place, he said. So basically, he's putting that responsibility on every one of us. We have to understand Prabhupada's mood. Our spiritual master's mood is the same. Our spiritual master is the sincere servant of Srila Prabhupada. So we're not doing anything separate, serving Srila Prabhupada and serving our spiritual master. It's not a separate mission. It's the same mission. And we have to take up that mission and do it very seriously. Something more to comment, Prabhu?
Well, it's always a problem when a thing has been changed to accommodate the Hindu community or the Vaishnava or the Brahmins in India when it gets translated back into the Western world, to then again recant on that and go back to the basis that Prabhupada said. the problem then comes into it that the society tends to become too much of a Hindu type of centre, which is not in the mood of Prabhupada to present his philosophy internationally for every race.
Yeah, that argument will continue. That, I mean, if you research Prabhupada's quotes on that, he is so compassionate to everybody. He says, people, in one of the lectures I was quoting now, he's saying that people criticize him for allowing women to stay in the temple. But he said, I'm doing it because they must be given the chance and they must be protected. He said, in the Western world, men and women mingle. So they're accustomed to mingling. So in order to gradually train them to keep women separate from men, he's brought in brahmacharini ashrams. Someone also said in class that a brahmacharini ashram is an extension of a Vedic family situation. Because in the current society, we don't have extended families where women meet and mingle together. So even the brahmacharini ashram can be considered as an extended of the Vedic idea that women associate mostly with women, and they find their strength in that association. He also said, and there are a lot of quotes available, I pulled them all out before, but yeah, in many places you'll find that his compassion, he says, how can I not give a chance to these living entities? All living entities deserve a chance to come to Krishna consciousness. And that is Prabhupada's mood. And he made some adjustments, but he made them carefully and thoughtfully. Now, there will always be the argument. Prabhupada made the adjustments, but he expected people to come eventually. But we're trying to preach to new people, so we have to preach according to their mood. Prabhupada went so much out of his way to make people welcome. Somebody even gave a class one day. They gave an example. There was one temple where there was one male devotee who didn't know whether he wanted to be a male or a female. So he was causing great trouble in the temple. So the devotees came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, this devotee, he spends 1 month in the brahmachari ashram and 1 month in the brahmacharini ashram. So he's upsetting the brahmacharis and he's upsetting the brahmacharinis. He says, Prabhupada, what should we do? Because this was in the day where nobody got kicked out of a temple. And Prabhupada just said, just ask him to stick to one. So he was so merciful, even though this type of thing is completely against the philosophy. He wanted to give this living entity a chance to come to Krishna consciousness. Because as we said in these verses, yesterday's and today's, there is no material disqualification. We can all be given the chance to come to Krishna consciousness. And then, yes, we're expected to take up the process. But first, let us become attracted to the process. Don't turn people away. And then when people come to devotional service, we have to look after them so they don't leave. Prabhupada criticized the devotees when devotees fell down and they made the devotee feel so bad that they wouldn't want to come back. He said, no, you should always allow them the opportunity to come back gracefully because it's a process. If we fall down, the process is that we get up again and we come back again. So we have to encourage that. Hare Krishna
Prabhu. Bhakti Ulya, you should say that in the case of Sri Prabhupada, he was very strict with the principles, but he adjusted according to application, according to time, his circumstances.
Yes.
I think what we see sometimes when devotees are not very strong in the fundamental principle of Krishna consciousness, try to change, that's where heaven can be created. Yes.
No, I appreciate very much what you're doing in Melbourne with education. And it's actually really sad to see in India that there is so little education for people coming to devotional service. Unless they're fortunate to be in a bhakti program, usually only for the brahmacharis, not usually for anyone else, there's nothing. They just can come. They come for the program, what they like. If they don't like the classes, they don't come to the classes, but they're considered as devotees. They don't come for Mangalati, some of them. And it's just accepted. And they become senior devotees without actually participating in the process that Prabhupada gave us. They become labeled as senior devotees.
Did Prabhupada make a statement even early days of the early 70s when ISKCON was still relatively new and there were just a few hundred devotees? And Prabhupada said, okay, now we have enough devotees, now let's train them.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't preach.
Yeah.
What it means is that we should make an emphasis that once we make devotees, we should also train them. We shouldn't just keep going out on the streets and bring more and more in. So yeah, that is often argued about as well. People think therefore we shouldn't go out preaching. But Prabhupada didn't mean that. What he means is that we should make sure that all the devotees coming in should be trained. He called it boiling the milk. He said you can add water and add water to the milk, and if you buy milk in India, you know what that means. You can't even make yogurt out of it. So you can keep adding water, and it looks like milk, but it's not really milk. Or else you can boil it, and you can boil it down to get the essence. So yeah, that's very important, that we can establish this training. So Disciples Course and the GBC are also putting in their Guru courses and their Sannyas courses and so much. GBC College, but there needs to be more effort in each different temple to educate these people who are coming in that don't see the need to become educated. Especially in India, there's so much lack of this type of education. Hare Krishna. There are some differences. Basically, they were looking for something new, but the point is made that when they were experimenting with all these sinful practices, drugs and illicit sex, how was it that one 70-year-old man could come and preach something where they have to give up all these practices and get up early in the morning? The potency of Krishna is there. So inasmuch as we keep our service attitude to Srila Prabhupada in mind, then Krishna will help us. But there are some differences in society. One thing now is this emphasis on rights. We were speaking about this a little last night, how thinking that I deserve everything, it makes it very hard for us to become humble, for us to look for help. So this modern welfare system where everybody thinks they deserve everything does make it in some ways harder. But Prabhupada also in the first canto, fifth chapter, there's the discussion between Narada and Vyasadeva about the rewriting of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada in his purports there says that we can invent new ways to attract people in this age of Kali. So as the age of Kali progresses, it becomes harder, but we become more determined to serve Srila Prabhupada, and we can invent new ways to attract them and bring them into Krishna consciousness. Thank you. Any other comments or questions, corrections? All right. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Thank you.